This is James Turner of O'Reilly News. I'm here at OSCON 2008 talking to Joe Brockmeyer, who is the Open SUSE Community Manager for Novell.
Yep.
How are you doing, sir?
Good, good.
So give people a little bit of a history of how SUSE came to be inside of Novell in the first place.
Okay.
Where it's been since then.
Okay. SUSE started as a company in Germany doing software and system Entwicklung, which is software and system development. They were bought by Novell, I think it was in 2003, and then they created the Open SUSE project in 2005. They announced it at Linux World, actually, so we're coming up on our third anniversary.
There's been a perception in the community that, you know, if you're talking like an ease of use desktop environment, everybody friendly, everyone talks about Ubuntu.
Mm-hmm.
Red Hat has traditionally been kind of the enterprise player, although I certainly know lots of places that like Novell in that place. But Novell kind of has seemed like the third player in the equation, in spite of the fact that they do a lot of work with Linux. Was it just a timing issue that that's how it ended up being?
I don't know. I would say that Novell's seen as a third player, especially in the enterprise space. I think that they're seen really as at least, you know, number two closing fast. But that would be more the enterprise folks to address. But as far as on the community side, obviously, since the Open SUSE project got a little bit of a later start compared to Fedora and compared to Ubuntu, obviously they're going to be seen as coming up from behind. So
Ubuntu has a fairly, I'm going to use a loaded term, clean record in the open source community in terms of there's not a lot of skeletons in their closet there. Red Hat has some baggage about the degree that they participate and whether people like or dislike the things they've done with certain acquisitions like JBoss. Novell is very schizophrenic, right? It's a very love-hate relationship in the open source community. They've done some things that people just really love, and they've done some things that people just bang their heads against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's realities of being a large company, but how does Novell reconcile kind of those two faces?
That is sort of a loaded question. I mean, I think really what you're talking about are two different things, and one is the enterprise side of the house that conducts business in a normal enterprise fashion, and then there's a side of the house that works on open source and the community version and that sort of thing. And they're really, you know, Novell sponsors the open source work, they sponsor the Open SUSE project, but they're not entirely synonymous. And I think that you're going to see a lot more of that as larger companies get involved with open source. You see it with Sun, you see it with a lot of other companies. Sun has had an extremely schizophrenic relationship with open source. They love Linux, they don't love Linux, they contribute huge amounts of codes to open source, they help fund the SCO thing. So, I mean, really, large companies tend to do things that aren't always in sync with it. But overall, I think that Novell's record of supporting open source certainly outweighs the complaints.
Well, let's move from kind of the knocks to the good side. Why don't you talk a little bit about kind of the new and exciting things Novell is doing in the open source environment right now?
Okay. We just released Open SUSE 11, which has been pretty widely, you know, well received widely. You reviewed it and had some qualms and also had some nice things to say about it. And as you know, I mean, I think that if you compare 10.3 to 11, 11 made huge progress.
Yeah.
We just released the first version, official 1.0 version of the Open SUSE build service, which has for some time given people the ability to build packages for multiple distributions, not just Open SUSE and SUSE Linux Enterprise, but for, you know, Red Hat Enterprise Linux, CentOS, Fedora, Ubuntu and Debian, Mandriva. The 1.0 version also adds the ability to contribute directly to the Open SUSE project and to build Open SUSE in the open. So it's going to make the project much more transparent. Those are the big things that have been going on lately. Something I'm not directly involved in personally, but we just announced at the show that we've renamed IceCore to Kablink. It's a collaboration platform. They've just added some workflow functionality. I think that's going to be very exciting as that moves forward.
What is the Open SUSE community like if you had to describe it in a short kind of personality description?
Personality description. More professional, but still fun. I mean, obviously, the motto for the last several years for SUSE has been, you know, and have a lot of fun. And I think largely there's a lot of that in the community, people who are pretty interested in getting work done, but also having fun doing it. So,
I think one of the frustrations that people have who move around between a lot of distributions outside of professional Linux reviewers who kind of buy into that as part of their job.
You take that on, yeah.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah. That I go in with my eyes open, but even I get frustrated sometimes. You've got pretty much four or five major ways that people are distributing packages, that they've got their own system administration toolkits, and everybody thinks theirs has got advantages over the other, but it does make it a little confusing moving around. Do you think that there's a commonality? I mean, distros like to tout this is the reason we're better than the others, but is there some commonality we can get into those spaces?
Well, I'm not even sure it's so much that it's a, on the community level, that it's so much about bragging rights as everybody sees a problem, but they all see a different way to solve it. You know, you've got Fedora guys who think that the best, who are trying to solve the package management issue with things like Yum, which they're working on and they're making strides on. And then we've got our folks who are trying to do the stuff with Zipper and making, you know, some major strides there in package management. And then you have the Debian folks. And so I don't think it's that anybody necessarily, I mean, I think the developers probably do think theirs is better, but I don't think that's quite the reason. I think it's more they see a problem and they want to solve it differently because everybody hasn't agreed on the problem. But some of the things that are going on, I know that both the Yum folks and the guys working on Zipper have been trying to make sure that the metadata formats are compatible or at least don't break anything. So maybe at some point we'll see some convergence and versions of RPM in those libraries and things.
So I mean, from a perspective of a commercial software vendor, for example, it's bad enough that you've got to worry about kernel versioning and things like that, which is somewhat equivalent to, say, versions of Windows, but there's more of them.
Right.
But then you start saying, okay, and then I have to package it up in nine different ways to satisfy everybody's distributions. I think that's been a factor. It's made one of the factors that's caused commercial software to lag in terms of Linux adoption is just the complexity of trying to get something that will satisfy enough of the community.
That's certainly, it's certainly been a challenge. That's one of the reasons why we, along with a lot of others, support the LSB. And it's also one of the reasons why we developed the build service in the first place, to make it, at least while this situation exists, at least it's easily possible for people to make those packages in one place and they don't have to maintain their own build farms. So,
so one final thing I'd like to chat with you about, because I'm sure a lot of people are interested. We can do the normal, you know, I ain't old here. Neither one of us is a lawyer.
No.
But obviously, you know, the whole SCO lawsuit thing has been a buzz in the industry for a long time. Is it close to dead?
I hope so, but I think it's probably going to drag out for a few more years. But the ruling, I guess it was last week now, against SCO saying that they had to pay Novell, what was it, $2.35 million, it isn't all that Novell asked for, and I'm not going to speak for Novell as a legal entity, but I do think the court is recognizing that SCO is wrong. And any, you know, that's how courts don't really so much make moral judgments as they just award money, and that's how you know who's right. And the fact that they have awarded Novell that money shows that SCO never really had a leg to stand on in the first place. And it's disappointing because I've been covering, as a journalist before I joined Novell, I had been covering the story since, what was it, 2003. And it's been really disappointing to see it drag on this long, but I think maybe we're seeing the last few twitches, but it's going to take a while.
Quick legal judgment is an oxymoron. So.
Yeah. And that's what they were counting on, right, was, you know, being able to bleed people through slow cuts. I don't think that they realized just how badly they would get spanked.
All right. Well, Joe, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your OSCON. I was talking with Joe Brockmeyer, who is the open source guy for open source community manager for OpenSUSE at Novell, and we were here at OSCON 2008.
Thanks a lot.
Have a good day.
Thanks.